Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a story told of two men, two Christian men, that stood before a judge in a court of law on charges of assault and disturbing the peace. The judge sat listening very patiently as each man gave his side of the story. And when they were done giving their testimony, the judge simply said, "Men, you're Christians. You should have settled this out of court." One of the men, who had a very large black eye, said to the judge, "Your Honor, we were trying to settle it out of court, but that's when the cops showed up." This evening, still thinking, aren't you? This evening, our theme is forgive as God forgave you. We've all discovered that it's easy to talk about forgiveness. In fact, we can talk about forgiveness all night long. In fact, we can all certainly agree that forgiveness is nice. It's loving. And forgiving someone who sins against us is helpful. After all, forgiving is what God has commanded you and I to do as His own children. But, and that's a very large but indeed, when we have to put into practice that biblical concept of forgiving those who sin against us, in the real world, we begin to understand it's not so easy, peasy, lemon squeezy. It's difficult to forgive people when they sin against us. It's easy to talk about theory, but when it comes to practice, it's not so easy. Christian author C.S. Lewis once wrote these words, "Everyone agrees that forgiveness is a lovely idea until we have something to forgive." I've heard someone say before, "I don't get mad, I get even." And see, I live in a world where I think I've experienced more often than not, the majority of people live by that rule, "I don't get mad, I get even," more so than the golden rule of God is that we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto me. Maybe you haven't chewed that person out who has sinned against you. Maybe you just quit talking to them and kind of give them the cold shoulder. Or maybe worse yet, you have begun to assemble around yourself a team that you've assembled through a tactic called gossip. It goes like this. "Do you have any idea what she has done? No? Well, let me tell you all about it." And in the process, what do we end up with? Part of us hopes it gets back to her so she knows how of a miserable person that she really is. Forgiveness? Oh, please. Forgive who? And yet, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, we are reminded of these words. If one has a complaint against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Paul doesn't say, "I kind of encourage you to forgive. You might think about it, negotiate it." He uses the word must. He makes it brutally honest that we as children of God are obligated to forgive those who sin against us. So Peter, the apostle, he comes to Jesus and asks a very pertinent question. "How many times do I got to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Just tell me, when someone offends me, how forgiving do I really need to be? Up to 7 times?" And for a Jew, that's generous, because the law only mandated three times a Jew was to forgive those who sin against them. And Peter was doubling it and then adding one as a good measure. Seven times, surely that's enough, Lord. And Jesus pulls a Jesus on Peter. You can almost look at him, he's like shaking, he says, like, no, Peter, not seven times, but 77 times. And I got to be honest, in the Greek, the words are so wacky, I have no idea how many times that is. It just means it's a lot. It means that grace and forgiveness isn't something that we keep track of. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, I love telling this story about the husband and wife got in the argument, and the wife starts dredging up all this stuff from the past that the guy had done wrong, and finally the guy says, would you just stop being all historical with me? Are we willing to forgive? And then we're thrust into our vision tonight, that theme of forgive as God forgave you. And the Apostle Paul begins to teach the church at Colossae what it really means to live in a world as sinful human beings, but yet still live as the body of Christ. How is it possible that we could ever forgive someone that sins against us? I want you to notice that Paul doesn't take off on a tangent of the finger wave. You know, the whole, you know, not so fast. He doesn't do that at all. He begins by telling them who they are. He says, he calls them God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Did you hear that? God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You know what they have in common with you? You also are God's chosen ones. You also are holy, and you're also beloved. I looked over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that says these words, you are a chosen people, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And some translations call it his treasured possession. He's talking about you. That's who you are, holy, a priesthood, royal, chosen. I'm not making this up. It's right here in the Bible. In spite of all of your flaws, in spite of all of your shortcomings, because of the work of Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross and the benefits poured out upon you in the water of your holy baptism, you are God's treasured possession. It's amazing. Let that sink in for a moment. You are God's treasured possession. But here's the kicker. Are you acting like it? In your walk in daily life, are you acting like God's treasured possession in your relationship with people that have sinned against you and have rightly offended you? Are we acting as God's treasured possession? But Paul doesn't stop there. He helps us out a little bit after he defines who we are. He kind of goes along and kind of gives a little bit of a litany of what it means to be a chosen one, holy and beloved. He said some of us like that would act like this. A compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. How you measuring up? When you look in the mirror of God's Word, what do you see? Do you see someone who is a compassionate heart? And I looked that up, and compassionate heart literally means being able to show mercy, especially to those who sin against you. Are we able to show mercy? I define mercy as, when I was growing up, there was a movie called Conan the Barbarian with the former governor of California. It's kind of funny, I can't remember his name right now. But anyway, big bulky guy, and he had a big sword. And there's like a little pawn on the ground with a little dagger that long, and his arm's up in the air like, mercy, and Conan could just crush him. But he doesn't. That's mercy. Do I act that way towards those that I am in conflict with? Kindness is the next word. It means that you seek to meet the needs of others through acts of generosity. And then it goes on to humility. And humility is probably my favorite. Because humility is the ability to recognize our own faults and our own weaknesses. I once heard it said that, as someone said, that the problem with most people is they won't admit their faults. I would admit mine if I had any. And I think many of us feel that way. How about patient? Patient means we bear with injustice and unpleasant circumstances without revenge or retaliation. Bearing with others despite their defects and sin, even sins against us. It is so hard to be patient with other people, especially when they have hurt you so badly. And then the last one, he says we're supposed to bear with one another. And the Greek word there is used as a ongoing. It's a non-ending bearing with one another. It isn't like, I'll bear with you when I'm around you, but I'm not around you, I ain't bearing with you anymore. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we're supposed to bear with one another even in the midst of the weakness of our brothers or sisters in Christ. In other words, as each of us struggle with our own faults, our own temptations, our own weaknesses, we begin to understand the struggles that other people have and we bear with them. You know, the Christian army is the only army I know that kills the wounded. We don't bear with one another, we just kill each other. But here's the deal. Paul concludes with these words. If one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. You got a complaint? Forgive them. And then he doesn't stop. He says, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. You're forgiven. Why don't you forgive other people? A little commentary to study revealed these little truths. It is utterly inappropriate for one who knows the joy and release of being forgiven to refuse to share that blessing with another. It's inappropriate for you and I who gather at this altar, we receive the body and blood of Christ, we know our sins are forgiven, it's all laid out before us, and then we turn around and says, I ain't forgiven you. Forgive, please, I ain't forgiven you. And then here's the second one. It is highly presumptuous to refuse to forgive one who Christ himself has already forgiven. You hear that? To not forgive someone that he died for. Oh, believe you me, I don't have this mastered. I have my own skeletons in the closet and I have my own times when it's hard for me to forgive. Because I'm human just like you are. There's times I get mad at you and you get mad at me, and that's just who we are as the body of Christ. But you know the great thing? In the midst of all of that stuff, we know who we are. We're the chosen ones of God. We are holy. Holy means forgiven and beloved. God loves us. You know, it's little wonder as Jesus, his disciples, Lord, teach us how to pray. One of the petitions, Jesus says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Why did he do that? Because we need to be reminded daily to forgive those who sin against us. How many times in your lifetime have you prayed that petition? Lord, forgive our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. The point I'm trying to make is forgiveness isn't easy. We forgive because we know we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for us for all the times when we were unwilling to forgive our neighbor. He died for us, and as my dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, I will assure you that by his blood, you are forgiven. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.